brought to you by Penguin.
Right Kind of Wrong: Why Learning to Fail Can Teach Us to Thrive, by Amy Edmondson. Read by Kate Mazer.
A PDF of additional material accompanies this program.
For Jack and Nick, with abiding love and growing admiration. I am not afraid of storms, for I'm learning how to sail my ship. Louisa May Alcott. Prologue. June, 1993. I'm sitting at the old wooden desk in my 15th floor office in William James Hall, where I'm a student in the new Harvard PhD program in organizational behavior. I lean in to look more closely at the small black and white screen on my bulky Apple computer. A stack of paper surveys I'd used to measure teamwork in two nearby hospitals sits pushed up against the wall at the edge of the desk. 6 months ago, hundreds of nurses and doctors had filled out those surveys, giving me a glimpse into how their teams were working. I've analyzed the data enough to learn that some of the teams were working together a whole lot better than others. Now, it's time for me to discover how many mistakes they've been making. In my hand, a small computer disk holds the long-awaited data on medication errors in each team, painstakingly collected by nurses over the past 6 months. All I need to do is run the statistical analysis to see if the team survey data correlate with the hospital's error data. This is the moment, right before my first major research failure. Soon, I would find myself thinking, not for the first time, that maybe I wasn't cut out for a PhD program. I had been ambivalent about graduate school. I admired people who made meaningful contributions in the world without the leg up of an advanced degree. If you were smart and resourceful, it seemed to me, you should be able to carve out a unique path forward, doing work that made a difference in the world. But a decade after graduating from college, I'd had to admit defeat. True, much of that decade had been creative and, from certain vantages, enviable. I'd worked as chief engineer for Buckminster Fuller, the visionary inventor of the geodesic dome. After that, I made the shift from engineering to organizational development after a chance meeting with the founder of a consulting company, and was soon fascinated by organizations and their failures. I worked with some of the oldest and largest companies in America. I met managers in the U.S. car industry in the late 1980s who saw that customers wanted fuel-efficient, high-quality cars, such as the new imports from Japan, but couldn't get their giant organizations to retool to make them. Everywhere I looked, thoughtful managers bemoaned their organization's inability to adapt to clear changes in what the world needed. I enjoyed the work immensely. My sense of defeat came from concluding that I'd gone as far as I could on my own steam. To be more effective in my new field of organizational behavior and management, I would have to go back to school. Then, perhaps, I could contribute in a meaningful way to the goal slowly taking shape in my mind: helping people and organizations learn so they can thrive in a world that keeps changing. I had no idea how to study this, nor how to contribute to changing how organizations worked. But it seemed like a problem worth solving. And I believed that I could learn from the professors in psychology and organizational behavior and somehow find a way to make a difference in understanding and altering the dynamics that make it hard for people and organizations to learn and thrive. Because of my interest in how organizations learn, as a brand new PhD student, I had been glad to accept the invitation to join a team of researchers studying medication errors at nearby Harvard Medical School.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?